We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's Sunday night. It's still baseball season, sort of. We'll still here. We got three games left across the baseball landscape. We'll be breaking them all down, talking about Fab, talking about the weekend that was, all coming up next on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Happy Sunday night, everybody. The final Sunday night of the 2022 Major League Baseball season. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, sponsored by So Rare. I am Scott Jensted, joined as always on Sunday nights. Well, not last week, but we had a good fill-in last week with Brian Slack. But back on the airwaves here with Jeff Erickson. Jeff, we got three guys left in the season. We got a lot to talk about. It was a busy weekend. Today was brutal in a lot of ways in the fantasy baseball world for me. But how is everything with you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Unfortunately for you, it's not as good because you're stuck with me instead of a serious player. So there's that. But you're stuck with more puns. So I know that made it even more brutal for you there. So sorry about
that. I remember if Brian pulled any puns last week. I think
he
did
one, if I recall. Yeah, he on the might timeline have. There.
I probably missed. Oh, I think, yeah, I think I thought he went with a Syndergaard Zach Wheeler portmanteau, and he actually didn't, but I thought it was gonna be really impressive. So I there was that, but it was fun. Brian too, so he's a really good dude. So it was fun. I was happy that he was able to fill in. Sometimes he's a tough guest to nail down, so it was fun to get him on here. But glad you are back for the final stretch of the season here. I know you've had a rough September. How are your teams hanging in at the moment?
Vegas is actually playing pretty well right now.
All right.
So, of course, the online where I was live for a while to right. be in the top 10 and win my league, I'm not going to win my league, and I might not even finish second.
How close are you? Have a chance at the league, or is it done?
It's pretty close to done. Kelly Ugansky had a great year. He had the better draft. He was leading most of the year. I caught fire for about a month and a half, and then he's had a much better September. I'm now sitting at 112 points. I'm 1 point ahead of third place now. Kelly's got a 7.5 point lead, so it's looking pretty slim, pretty grim, pretty slim and none chances here. I wasted so much time and capital and probably strikeouts trying to chase saves and thinking about the overall, and I didn't get it. It's brutal. And ever since I cut Jimmy Hergett, he's gotten four saves.
I think he had three. Every time I look up, he said, "I get three." I think the Angels had five saves this week as a team. I think Tapera had two, and Hergett had three. It was crazy.
Yep.
Who did you guys draft in closers in that league? Was it Barlow. Barlow and basically. That was it.
Okay. Barlow and some scrubs in the late rounds because it just we kept on thinking the price wasn't right, and I mean that was actually the correct approach. I feel like, but you got to get you got to get Helsley. You got to get. You know, whoever emerges here and there. And Clay Holmes was our get, and that was great for a while.
Pretty good get, yeah, for a while.
And then, you know, he also symbolized what happened on the stretch. I mean, we just and all that time we spent chasing, you know, and capital, like Sir Anthony Dominguez is perfectly a good illustration there. Spent was some of our most significant Fab bucks late, gets one save the first day we roster him, then he gets hurt and hasn't had a save since. You know, it's things like that. It's tough. But boohoo, everybody else has the same constraints. So
where'd you guys pick in that league?
Right in the middle, like seventh, I think.
So like you could have gone like a fourth round closer, probably like a Romano, Kimbrel, man, Presley, Jansen, somewhere in there. But who'd you guys take in the fourth round hitter wise?
This is one where we took the values that were given to us there. So we drafted seventh, went Harper, Urias, Starling Marte, him getting hurt down the stretch.
That hurt too.
Matt Olson, that worked out. That was the windfall player for us in the fourth round,
which was great for about 4.5 months. It's been, and last week has been good, but he was last week brutal for back. About 5 weeks in there.
Yeah. But I can't complain. For a fourth round pick.
Yeah.
It's not like I could have had Tyler O'Neill was right after that, you know, as an example. But that was the thing. Like, if I went closer there, I could have gotten Romano or Kenley Jansen, and those would have been fine. I also could have gotten Aroldis Chapman. Now, I wasn't drafting Aroldis Chapman, so I wouldn't have gotten him.
But Romano or Jansen solves your saves problem completely.
Yeah, and Presley I also could have gotten. He went one pick before us in the fifth, and that could have changed things. And because our fifth round pick was just lighting a fifth round pick on fire. Javier Baez. I mean, I could, and Goldie went one pick after us. So yeah, fun. That was pretty brutal.
That's a late Presley right there. I was saying I took Presley early fourth in my main event. So that's
So it was so palpably close to getting our closer. But then after that, we're just like, okay, we didn't get our targets. We didn't panic. We didn't push up the next guy. We didn't fall into that trap. And I feel like pretty proud of that actually. You know, we didn't force it. We didn't go Giovanni Gallegos in the sixth, which is where he went in our league.
That would not have worked. That wouldn't have worked either.
Yeah. We didn't go Taylor Rogers, who kind of worked.
Then he drastically.
But, you know, 28 saves would have been nice to be able to pocket. But if the gift of prophecy of knowing when to cut him at the trade deadline and never pick him up again.
Right.
I mean, and then you're like, Melanson, gah. And he didn't do that. Barlow in the eighth was that was worth it. We got good value for it. Like no complaints there. Just we didn't back him up with anything, and we had to fight. We're still at like 50 saves for the year, though. I mean, it's not like we're at a zero. I mean, we're in the middle of the pack in saves. We had this momentum. Clay Holmes was racking them up for a while. We're getting Ian Kennedy saves. Ian Kennedy just killed us in September, though. Just killed us.
Yeah, he had some brutal outings. Do you feel like being in the overall mix, knowing that saves your worst category, hurt you in your league as you kind of
100%?
Okay, I was going to say, like, do you think you started paying attention to the overall too early, or do you think it just didn't work out the way
it just didn't work out? But we went 5-4 for a few weeks, and we probably lost a couple of points and strikeouts in our league.
Yeah,
but you know, if it had worked, if we had gotten 10 saves, we would have gotten that in save points in our league and then gotten overall points too. And
I was gonna say, you're not far off. I have in my main event online, I have 68 saves and I'm like not elite, but pretty darn good. So it's really like 10 saves that you needed.
Yeah. Ifs and buts were candy and nuts and all that. Sure. But
I mean, it's not like you were 30 saves off. I mean, I think that, you know, the difference is so tough right now with the way saves are. It used to be like you needed like 85 saves and now you need like 70 to be really good. So it's, the difference is it's so small. It's you know, 6 weeks of a guy that you can pick up that gets 12 saves really makes a difference.
Yep. But it was exactly we're five saves behind the next guy. Now we're at exactly 50 saves. We're four saves ahead of the person behind us. So saves are pretty much locked. But we killed ourselves, I think, because we lost some ratio points because Kennedy was horrible. I mean, just like horrible.
Horrible. And you're not getting any, I guess you're not getting any wins.
Yeah, and we are 6 Ks behind one team and 8 behind another and, you know, 20 behind another. So, I mean, when you're going 4 relievers,
that's 3 length. Points that you probably have if you go 7-2 those 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then we lost Gonsolin. We lost another starter. So some of, you know, the starters that were available to us were pretty crappy at that point too. You know, we bragged, commented, whatever you want to say,
right.
How we went like 2 months without picking up a starting pitcher. And immediately after that, Gonsolin gets hurt, and you know we just like, oh, it's our comeuppance here. Gotcha.
Yeah, I had the Gonsolin, Tyler Mahle, Frankie Montas, Sonny Gray combo. Gray was late at least, but like that week killed because he pitched one inning, got no strikeouts. It was gonna be a 2-start week, and it was tough. Montas was just the Montas trade killed me because he was just disaster when he went to New York, was bad when I used him, and then got hurt, and now became unusable, obviously, and you drop, but. That was a tough one because he was my second starter, and you know, even when he was really good in Oakland, he wasn't elite, but it was good enough that it was really good innings, and he had none of those in New York. I think he had one good start in New York.
Yeah, and some of the guys that carried us earlier kind of fell apart down the stretch, like Wainwright. You know, I'm not getting tons of Ks out of him anyhow, but he really had a bad month of September and was bad again today. Lost to the Pirates at home. You know, gave up six runs in 4 2/3. I mean, it's just a ratio killer there. And he had like four or five outings like that in the last six or seven. So,
yeah, I can say nothing bad about Dylan Cease, but his outing on Saturday hurt too. I needed like a 13 strikeout gem to like make up some ground. And he just kind of, he was okay for five innings. They started walking some guys. He didn't get anybody out in the six. And you look up and it's a really bad line. You're like, well, that's my last start for my best pitcher. And it really stung also.
Yeah, 100%. Although I got to say, and we were texting about this earlier, you're second overall, dude. You're having a great year. You're going to win your league, and you're going to – are you winning Vegas still too?
I am. It's close. It's gotten closer. Someone's over 100 points now, so someone's like, I think, four or five points behind me. It's going to be close. I'm going to need to not get disaster pitching in 3 days. If I just get average pitching over 3 days, I'll win the league, but there is definitely a downside path if I get some blow-ups in there.
But this is an unqualified good year for you. You've got a team 64th in the online championship too, by the way.
Yeah, no, that team was like 40th, and I've lost attention to a lot of teams with focusing on the one main event team. But yeah. And I get it. As I look back in a month or so, I'll probably realize that. But today, I mean, I had two star. We're talking about our own teams too much. But today, I had two starting pitchers. Strikeouts is my worst category. Two starting pitchers got zero strikeouts combined. Like, it's just
name them. Let's call them out.
Chase Anderson and Ronzi Contreras. I took a shot at two start weeks, and the worst part of that was they faced each other on Monday. Both of them throwing gems through four innings, and rain delay comes.
Oh, that's right. I remember
in the,
that.
In the same – they're pitching each other. So in the same freaking game. So they're both pitching really well. I think Chanderson was like four innings, no runs, and five strikeouts. Contreras was four innings, one or two runs. They both pitching really well. And then Contreras was done after the rain delay. So I lose all the strikeouts he might have gotten. Anderson comes back out, gives him a couple runs, but still had a good, you know, decent line for four innings. But like no wins there because of the rain out, no win chances. The strikeouts went down, and they both get lit today. And it was just – I mean, I took a chance on both of them. My theory was – I needed strikeouts, and I took that slot as like a three start slot for the last 10 days because I use them both this week and then drop them and pick up a starter for this week. So my theory was I had to go for it. I had to get strikeouts, and boy, did it blow up immensely today. And now I'm closer, way closer to third than I am to first. And that's going to be, I mean, it's just, if I'm, I was, you know, pretty much tied for first a week ago. So it's the money's still really good. I get what you're saying, but I really wanted to win. I really wanted to win this thing a lot. So it's just
it was
a very disappointing day. I don't want to admit how much disappointing it was, but it was a very disappointing day to realize that it's probably done.
Right. Well, I mean, just this whole week, you know, and just, you know, the Schuler Erickson story is all the wrong moves, starring not Tom Cruise, somebody else. But like, you know, the Sonny Gray week that we both shared. We also picked up Tyler Wells for his two step. And he didn't even make the second step, but he was terrible in the first.
That's right.
We picked up Adrian Hauser for
Doctor. He pitched well this week, right?
What's that?
And then you dropped him, and he pitched well this week, right?
Did he even pitch this week? I don't know. Yeah, he might have. Adrian Hauser, we picked up for a two step. He got hurt in his first start, so it's just, you know, just we've had two wins, zero saves for the week. You know,
I take it back. You're right. Tyler Wells didn't pitch this week. He's not pitched since that game against Detroit where he got smoked.
Yeah, Detroit too. Yeah. And obviously he was pitching hurt. Like, great, right. Thanks. Yeah. Hit 197 for the week, and it's just so frustrating. It's like you want to finish strong, and I always limp down the stretch. It's like, am I not paying enough attention? It's like, is there a leak here, or is this the happenstance of players playing bad in the last couple of weeks of the season?
I think there's a lot more variance in September than any other month, but I think the same thing too. Like, I think the variance would even out. I've not been a very good September player. I don't think it's a lack of effort. I just think maybe falling behind in strikeouts is a weakness. I think it's a category you don't want to be behind in.
I'd agree with that.
Catching up with it, you're taking big risks on guys that you don't really want to take risks on. And I don't even think Chase Anderson's a good pitcher. But I was like, he's got two starts. He pitched well three starts in a row. As Brian Slack pointed out to me, I think his BABIP in those three starts was like 0.85 or something like that. It was insane. Like, he was getting really lucky. And right. I had to take a shot that maybe get lucky twice. There were no other good two steps available. I should have taken a good one step and a good one step this week. And I got greedy. I tried to get.
Are those in existence though?
I mean, like, I could have picked up Michael Lorenzen, who's getting the A's this week and the A's again next week. So that would have worked. I could have picked up Bryce Elder, who pitched really well. Like, the names that I had right behind Anderson and Contreras were really good. Turned out to be pretty good. But I needed strikeouts badly. So I tried to go for three starts to the two, and that, it backfired pretty badly. So I can say that I had bad luck, but I also made bad decisions and took risks that didn't work out. So I I'm always the one who blames myself rather than blaming variance or luck. But, you know, there's a lot, there's some of both of that in any of our games here.
For sure. 100%. And there's some clear mistakes that we've made.
Oh,
and
for sure.
You can't, it's going to make for good article fodder in the off season. Yeah. I always find the, you know, what went wrong articles, you know, and, you know, it's, it, you know, I think they get, they are always well received. I learn more from them than the, what went right, how I won League X.
Your foil in your main event league just went in. Kelly Ugansky actually listening to the podcast right now. So that's really awesome.
Yeah. Kelly, I met the very first time I did an FBC. I don't know if he remembers, but he was one of the regs who welcomed me into the fold and was one of the people that was nice to me right away. Made me realize that I was in the right spot. So not sucks like, that I'm losing to him, but at least I'm losing to a nice guy.
Not like the ass who was sitting two seats away from you and told you, told us your nice John Lackey pick.
Yeah, and then I did podcasts with him for the next 4 years. So
I was like, take a look, this expert over here picking the injured player.
No, so-called expert. Come on, get it right.
There you go. So let's talk about this week. It's a weird season. We had the lockout, and we have like a half week to end the season here, which means just by math, you know, every team's playing three games, so 40% of starting pitchers aren't pitching this week. I mean, anybody that threw Saturday or Sunday, a lot of guys are getting shut down. You know, Joe Ryan, you know, made his last start, not going to pitch on Wednesday. Sandy Alcantara, same thing, not going to pitch on Wednesday. I think we're going to see a lot of people that we think are going to pitch on Tuesday, Wednesday, not pitch also. Some of these teams, like I have two Phillies, and the Brewers killed me this week because now, you know, the guy in first place has Nola, is going to pitch tomorrow. But then I have Bailey Falter, I have Ranger Suarez, and they may not, who knows how much they pitch Tuesday with. If the Phillies clinch on Monday, they may not need those two games. So it's a tough situation where I wish the Brewers had won a couple games, made the Phillies had to try a little harder.
So, but let's project the Phillies rotation though, because you know Nola's gonna play pitch in the playoffs.
Yeah,
they're gonna want to make sure he gets an outing. You know Wheeler's gonna get an outing.
Yeah,
who's their third starter?
I think it's probably Suarez, right?
Yeah, I guess so. He might be the one that's risk. I mean,
and I think he's still. I guess they start Friday, so he probably still. I just think I think both him and Falter have limited outings than they would have if they needed those games. Sure. Maybe those guys are six or seven. Now maybe they go four, maybe they go five, and that just, you know, takes wins out of the mix, takes strike out of the mix. It's just a you see on the last 2 days, we always get those like, oh, here comes a three inning outing and like seven straight bullpen arms of guys we've never heard of.
Yeah, well, Gausman pitched three today as an example with a cut on his finger, but and it may be really legit. Or it might just be this is a reason to get him out. They don't have to provide a reason. So I guess he's probably definitely has a cut. It's just a question of like.
Right. How bad is it? They want him to pitch next Friday for the first game of the wild card. So it's a wild weekend. The Braves sweeping the Mets. Like, talk about the Mets have just been a meltdown. Like, all the Mets had to do essentially was win one of these three games, and they were in the driver's seat. They would have had a one-game lead with the tiebreaker and with three games left, and now they're essentially dead. I mean, I think the Braves' magic number is one now to win the division. It's a huge, huge spot because now you become – whoever wins that becomes the two seed. You get a bye, and then you miss the Dodgers in the first round too.
Yes, exactly. Miss the Dodgers until the CS, you know. Yeah.
And you play the winner of St. Louis and Philly or Milwaukee, and, like, that is a world difference than playing the Dodgers.
Yeah. So currently, you know, the Mets are now, I mean, the Braves magic number is one, I think, right?
They're done. Unless they have to get swept and the Mets have to sweep, and it's not, the Braves are playing the Marlins this week.
Because the Braves now have the tiebreaker over the Mets too. Yeah,
it's done. They were tied 9-9 going into tonight. So it was like the biggest game possible. They were tied. Everything was
super high leverage game.
It was like as much a high leverage game as a regular season game can be. And I think the Mets had 10 hits or something like that, and the Braves had five, but just the Braves are hitting bombs.
Bassett was walking the park in the third inning, so walks matter.
Well, yeah, I mean, he has that A's blood in him, so big game, it's just meltdown time. It's just what happens.
Yeah, Reds, A's, you know, we do that sort of thing.
Although Matt Olson hit a tank, so I guess a little good bit, a little bit of good A's blood there.
And Lieutenant Dansby was just stud all weekend too.
He homered every game, right?
Yeah. DeGrom, Scherzer, Bassett, center, left center, right center.
That's beautiful.
Dude, I'm in love. I mean,
they are peaking at the right time again.
Yeah. Again. So are you going to pick them to win the World Series again like you did last year?
I don't know. That's tough to go. Dodgers are tough. I haven't really thought about that. I haven't thought about the NFBC postseason contest because I've been so locked in on the regular season. Mm-hmm. But I think the Astros are winning the American League. I don't know who. I have to think about the National League, though. I think the Astros are clearly the best team in the American League, though.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I just I love their pitching so elite, and then the they just so many good hitters. I just think they line up really well for a short series.
And there's been zero drama with them for like the longest time. I mean, they're just on cruise control. They can set it up.
Yeah, they clinched the West like April 26th or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Basically,
so it was pretty much done. Thanks. There's a nice comment in the chat from Kay Salazar. Thanks for your expertise, help all year. You guys are the best. We really appreciate that. Always like to hear nice things and hear good things that we're helping people out there. But last half week, we do have four teams that have four games, believe it or not, this week. We have Seattle and Detroit play a doubleheader, and Texas and New York play a doubleheader. So a lot of at-bats there. This week is all just about getting starters if you need them, if you need strikeouts, need saves, throw just as many just live arms is what you're looking for. I mean, I think I was just trying to get to nine pitchers in a couple teams. And, you know, I think the hitters, you know, I didn't really worry about it very much because, you know, 3 days, you can't really focus on batting average or runs. We'll talk about fab. We'll talk about a little power and speed, but hitters over 3 days, who knows what happens, but I think pitchers were kind of my main focus. And as I was looking at everything today,
yeah, I was all about the pitchers this time. With one exception, I think in an online championship, I lost a corner. Just had to replace that. So
let's talk fab hitters real quick. Then it's kind of the quicker part here. My thought on it pretty much was, you know, if you need some pop, you need some home runs, RBIs, you're going to one group of guys. If you need some steals, you're going to another group of guys. And, you know, if you're batting average over 3 days is so variable, I wasn't really worried about that. But power, I mean, Eugenio Suarez came off the aisle. He was dropped in a lot of leagues. He's third base and shortstop eligible. The Mariners have four games this week. They've clinched. That was a pretty awesome moment, by the way, even though it was against RAs. It was pretty cool to see that.
And against my Domingo Acevedo in his only outing for the week. He did get two strikeouts in that, so there was that. But
I mean, it's crazy to think the Mariners had the best record in the history of baseball and have not made the playoffs once since then in 2001.
Right.
That was a 21-year stretch. I mean, the A's, who are, you know, the A's, have been to the playoffs like eight or nine times since then. Like, it's crazy. The Marlins have and the Royals have both won World Series since then. So, I mean, it's a long-ass drought.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It was fun seeing him go nuts. And for Cal Raleigh, who's been one of the great stories of the season.
Yeah, dude has 26 bombs. I think he leads catchers in home runs, right?
There's big dumper. Yeah.
Sal Perez have more? He must have more, right?
I know
he missed a chunk of the season. Sal has 23, so I think Raleigh leads catchers.
Yeah. So what are you doing with Cal Raleigh next year?
Man, who knows? I mean, catchers. Catcher's so weird. I mean, Real Muto's had an unbelievable season, but Raleigh's.
Marsha's been great too.
Marsha's been great. I was one I missed on, but the problem, I mean, Raleigh's 29% strikeout rate, hitting .208, 26 home runs, a ton of hard contact though, 15% barrel rate. Like when he hits it hard. I just, I think there's a massive batting average risk there, and he'll probably go earlier than I'm ready to go.
I'm going to go back to the well on Will Smith, I think. I mean, I feel like, I could have. I could have done better, but it almost feels like a disappointment. Oh, he didn't get those DH at bats that we were hoping for and all that. Yeah, he's fine. He's fine. 24 homers, 87 RBI, 68 runs. You'll take that from catcher every time.
Is Adley Rutschman the fourth drafted catcher?
Probably. I mean, he's so darn good, especially if he can convert some of that OBP into batting average at some point there. Varsho, of course, is still, I think Varsho's number one. I could arguably put Varsho ahead of Real Muto.
I was going Real Muto, Varsho, Smith, and then kind of opens up for four.
Yeah.
I think those top
go Madley after that. Adley.
Go who after Adley? Oh,
Madley after Adley. I
thought you were putting someone else after him. I was like, I don't know who that is.
How about MJ Melendez, suggested by Isaac there?
He's an intriguing guy, especially if they hit him lead off some more. He walks a lot, but I mean, he's another guy. He's hitting .219. Like, I know he's been good. He has 18 home runs, but still, it's a lot of at bats at .220. I just he's got 25% strikeout rate. I think you got to figure that gets little better next year. He struck out a lot in the minors too. I don't know. Another guy that I probably think is going to go earlier than I'm ready to take him.
Sure. I can get that. He's outfield eligible. Or are you really going to play him in outfield?
No, I mean, you're drafting him because he's catcher eligible.
Same thing.
Yeah, if you're using him in the outfield, that's not what you want to do. Yeah. So
I got to take a massive L on Varsho. I had him in 0.0 leagues. Yep. I talked against him. Didn't talk against him, but I didn't think he
– I did not like his draft price. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like his draft price. I thought he was a good player, but it was like – three or four rounds behind it, which meant I never got him because there's always an advocate for him. Yeah. So now I have to kind of reset my priors on that one there. Alejandro Kirk, much better in the first half than the second half. What are you doing with him?
Oh, I think Jeff just suddenly got kicked off here. I don't know where Jeff went. But yeah, no, catcher's an interesting spot. Let me just get him back on here. All right. Anyway, let's before Jeff comes back, let's talk some more Fab. Jeff's laptop forced an update on him, so there we go. He'll be back in a second. Let's talk about power, because I think power and Fab is, if you're looking for a couple home runs, your two or three home runs or RBIs behind people, that's a spot you could actually gain in, which is really nice. Eugenio Suarez, we mentioned. Tristan Casas in Boston is a guy that I do really like. He's playing every day, has shown some pop. I think that's a name that was available in a lot of leagues. I think he was available in a lot of online leagues, maybe 80% of the 80% of the main event leagues. Oh, there we go. I'm adding Jeff to the stream. Jeff, I'm talking to Tristan Casas, and we're talking about some power. Went back to power and Fab.
Okay. Yeah, I like Tristan Casas.
Yeah, playing every day, hitting well. So he's a name that, after Suarez was a name that I thought if you need some RBIs and home runs, he was an interesting guy to go after. J.D. Davis in San Francisco, they platoon a bunch, but he's been hitting the ball well. Josh Young, who maddening to me, struck out about 400 times the week before last. I dropped him, and then he had a two home run, five RBI day on Monday, which is like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, he was in our Vegas main. Actually, doing better in that league than I am in the league that that Kelly's going to win. Vegas main, I might sneak in. I've got a chance to sneak out of third place, which would be awesome.
I mean, yeah, cashing in both your mains, a chance to do that in last week is pretty darn good too.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, Posma is not going to give up. He's, it's him and I for that third spot basically.
Matty Wood still winning that league?
Oh, he's killing it, and Toby's kicking butt too. I mean, at third, third place is just the only upside I got in that league.
Did you do anything with Francisco Alvarez in the Mets call up here? Do you think he's a play enough now that they've maybe they might have have clinched the wild card rather than the division? Do you think that maybe they play him a little more than they would have?
I think they play him the same. I think it's he and Nito basically they're flip flopping every day basically, right?
Yeah, I don't know if they're platooning pure lefty and righty or just kind of going every other day, but. Obviously, he's a big prospect. He had 27 home runs across Double A and Triple A this year. So, and I mean, if you needed a catcher, and I think that the people that had some dead spots at catcher, that it was the one interesting name I thought that was a catcher that you could grab for the last couple of days here.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think in my league, I think I'm okay. I mean, I could have we wanted to replace the pitcher. I think we had $1 in Fab in one of them, and then two in the other. So it was just like trying to find live pitchers for this week. That was our focus.
That was my deal too. I had $3 in each league, and there was just no way I was spending them on anything but pitching. So I just couldn't really in those two leagues. I couldn't do much at hitting. But if you need a stolen base this week, CJ Abrams is really interesting. He is playing every day for the Nationals and playing pretty well. I think he had 3 stolen bases this week. Dylan Moore has like 5 stolen bases the last 8 or 9 games, and the Mariners mentioned play 4 games, so he'll play at least 2, maybe 3, and he seems to be running. So if those are the two names that I thought, if you need some stolen bases. I thought both Abrams and Moore were guys that could give you one or two, and that could be a big boost in a really clumped up category.
Well, especially with Seattle playing 4 games. I mean, that's nice. It's nice that Dylan Moore is going to we're going to look at his end of season stats. We're like, oh, he was actually had a pretty good year. No, he just poured it all on at the end there.
Right.
But of course, you should, if you need that there, I'm furtively looking to see. Well, I want, Thor doesn't start anymore. So I was going to see if, is Thor pitching against anybody? Can we, can we run against him? But that's the other thing is trying to find just any sort of way. There was a team who got the 5 stolen bases the other day.
Phillies, right?
Yeah, Phillies against the Nats. That's right.
It was like Harper, Stott, Realmuto who had 3. It was a wild day.
Yeah, Harper had back-to-back days with stolen bases. So that was useful. Yeah. He hasn't had much power since coming back. That's one thing. Has he even homered? I think he's homered like once since coming back. Is that right?
He came back like start of September.
I'm gonna look at this real quick here. But
he has 3 home runs in September.
Okay, so it's
hitting 189.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. He had a 1-for-16 stretch again. The team that fell apart in September. That's I can't blame him. He came back from a thumb injury, and obviously that comes with that. So, and he's coming back for a playoff run. Yeah, but that hurts. I mean, you lose your first round pick, and then when he comes back, he's a waiver wire guy, basically. I mean, he did get for a while, he was getting on base and hitting for average, but then he went through a big slump.
Yeah. Not easy to hit baseballs when you're not feeling 100%. Is Harper about the same ADP as he was last year? Kind of a early second round guy again?
Feels like that's a first round guy this year. I got him in the seventh overall pick.
I guess he was. He did move up there, didn't he?
Yeah, I think that's right. His main event ADP was right around that. I'll tell you what it was in a sec.
Next year is like a 1-2 turn guy, maybe early second next year then?
Yeah, something like that. It's definitely going to be later than he was in the main this year.
Yeah, I thought I saw some teams getting him early second at some point, but you're right. I think he did move up a bunch.
Eight was his main event ADP. Okay. Range was 6 to 14.
Okay.
For a long time, that was considered a really good pick.
Yeah. He was really good. It's just an injury that, not much we could do there. Other guys on steals. If you need some, so Akil Baddoo, an old friend who has been a disaster, but he's let off the last 4 days. Not really hitting a lot, but he's someone that, if you wanted to, maybe fall in some leadoff at bats, that might work, but boy, talk about a rough year. .201, two home runs, seven stolen bases. He stole one today, which is why I noticed the stolen bases. Crazy enough, that was my ninth round pick in my good main event team.
Yeah, I mean, it just shows every team makes mistakes. Even the main event winners will make mistakes.
Yeah, that's a dead zero in the ninth round too. Like that's an absolute. It's a negative if anything. So it's it shows that you don't need to be perfect. You need to be anywhere near perfect on every pick. G-Wan Bay in Pittsburgh is also an interesting stolen base name. He had a ton of stolen bases in the minors. He's playing a decent amount for Pittsburgh, so as I look for steals, it was Abrams and Moore, and then Baddoo, and then maybe Bay if everybody else was taken. But I think he had 30 steals in AAA so far for the Pirates AAA affiliate, hitting .290, has a couple steals already in seven games in the majors, so maybe one that could work out. Oh yeah, steal most today too, so that's three actually in eight games, so pretty good ratio there.
This is the I'm paying attention to baseball and football season mode there. Getting that, especially paying attention to the Pirates and what they're doing playing time. No, seriously, yep. I mean you got to do it.
You do. It's September's really tough. I know we all watch football on Sundays, but yeah, it's these names that are playing every day. They're going to get you at bats, and counting stats come with that are big. So, but
let's talk. Watch the Baseball Grid Channel on Sundays. I mean, you have to almost watch football.
I still don't really get that. Is that like a technology thing? Is that a rights thing? Like, how is that? They only have the technology for one grid channel.
I think so. I wonder.
That is wild.
Yeah. Good question from Kelly. Do you think Harper needs Tommy John? Yeah, he might.
I think that's very possible. Can a hitter get that and be back in 6 months? Probably pretty close, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe he starts the year late. So yeah, that would affect his ADP for sure. We'll know at least by the time those start drafting.
Yeah. So let's talk about some pitching in Fab. I think that was the kind of the main point for everybody this week. But first, a note from our sponsors. It's So Rare. So Rare MLB is an NFT-based free-to-play baseball game played with officially licensed Major League Baseball cards. Sign up today at sorare.com/MLB and receive 13 common cards to start your collection. Build 7-player lineups from cards in your collection and play weekly competitions with scoring based on real-life player performance. Compete for rewards with other fans around the world. For more information on gameplay and a sign up, visit sorare.com/MLB. There's no better time to join SoRare than ahead of all our postseason gameplay.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So Jeff, starting pitching was about getting guys that actually are making starts this week. We mentioned kind of earlier, we had Bryce Elder was an interesting name. I thought Davis Martin on the White Sox is a good name. If he wasn't available in many main events, but some 12 teamers. We mentioned Michael Lorenzen facing the A's. Domingo Germán is available in spots. Who are you guys looking at? Was there anybody you really like focused on? I think Elder, Martin, and Lorenzen were three that I really kind of wanted to get the most of when they were available.
Just my problem was none of them were available. Mine, I don't think. We were going after the likes of Eric Lauer and Graham Ashcraft. We got Ashcraft.
I didn't have Lauer available anywhere. So there you go.
Yeah. We didn't get him. But we got
him available.
We got the consolation prize in Graham Ashcraft in both mains and Johan Oviedo.
You and me both. I picked up Oviedo also. I like the recent forms. I like the strikeouts, and I'm hoping that St. Louis sits everybody on Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be nice.
That's how much I was thinking about this. Was I was thinking like who they're playing and what teams are going to do on that day. So I'm hoping Goldie and Arano get one at bat and go take the rest of the day off.
Exactly.
Someone in the chat mentioned Hayden Wesneski. I like that one a lot too. I actually picked him up in the main event 3 weeks ago, and I've been pitching him. He's been pretty good. He had a win. He had a win this week too. He's been he's an upside arm with some strikeouts. He's at Cincy. You always hate that park, but you know, not a bad lineup to face. Apologies to you, but that's it's a good one there too. A couple of A's pitchers I was looking at: Ken Waldichuk and Adrian Martinez, both guys that ratio risk, but. Both guys who can strike some dudes out. Waldichuk had a really good outing this week. He had inky at 8 strikeouts, and Martinez's strikeout rate has been pretty good the last 2 or 3 starts. So they were someone that facing the Angels. Mike Trout is day to day with a sore foot. So who knows if he's going to play? You take Trout.
Are you taking Trout next year?
Oh man, it's got to be the hardest guy to figure out, right? He's missed 40 games or so. He's been 115 games, 116 games after today. He has 39 home runs.
I know, it's ridiculous.
Does that put him like third or fourth? Because I know when Judge hit 60, he was 20 ahead of Schwarber. Schwarber has 44 now. So I think Trout must be third or fourth somewhere in there. There might be a couple of guys that jumped ahead of him. But like, talking to a guy that missed a quarter of the season, he's fourth in the majors in home runs. But the stolen bases are non-existent.
Correct.
He has 4 the last 3 seasons. But as elite a hitter as there is, it's a lot of years in a row where he's missed a bunch of games.
Yeah, and that's the part that's going to hurt. The batting average is down, obviously, although it's actually commensurate with what he did in 2020 and the goofy season.
Yeah.
He strikes out a ton now. He really does.
I don't think he's going to report it. His strikeout rate really is high. It's just he's become he's a pure power hitter now.
Yeah, he is. He's bigger. Yeah, but – his WOBA is like 420. I mean,
he's insanely good.
Stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, he's such a pure hitter. But yeah, strikeout percentage is 28% now. Just think if he didn't make that hard contact. But it's just you got to bank in the stolen bases. I mean, the injury. I think he's probably a guy. I don't think I'd take him in the second round of the main. I don't know. Maybe I would. I definitely won't take him in the first round.
I definitely won't take it with the first round either. I think it'd have to be a middle to late is where I start to probably consider it. It might depend who I have in the first round, but you're always just banking on, I just hope he plays 130 games. If he does, you're going to be really good. Even this year, 115 games worked out really well. I mean, 39 home runs, but
for sure.
Still, you look at his overall numbers, one stolen base, 78 RBIs is not, you know, really winning. I mean, it's fine, but it's not huge. 82 runs. I mean, obviously you're getting stats for the person you put in for him when he's on the bench, but it's weird that he's just become a huge power hitter, and that's kind of what he is now. Which is, I mean, do you take him or do you take Jordan Alvarez?
I mean, he's got his own health concerns,
right? They're kind of similar guys, right? Like it just seems like he's always got something, but you know, just an unbelievably pure hitter in Alvarez.
Yeah, yeah, but only 132 games this year. But yeah, what a hitter! You're right. I mean,
37 bombs, 96 RBIs in an elite lineup. And he's hitting 303, and we talk about Trout's hard hit. Alvarez is 59.8% hard hit rate right now. That is an absurd rate. And he's got a 21% barrel rate. I mean, it's just as good a hitter as there is, just a pure power hitter.
I think I'd probably take Alvarez over Trout because of the team context. We'll see what happens to the Angels in the offseason. I mean, hell, they're trying to sell the team right now. That might mean they strip mine. We'll see. They did just ink Ohtani so for next year. That's not an extension. It just avoids arbitration ahead of time.
He's a free agent after next year, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So there's the threat of a midseason trade, although, honestly, I always find those to be pretty decent.
Here's one for you. Do you take bets over them?
Yeah, I do.
You know what Mookie's hitting without looking it up?
I was on the page. 270.
Oh. Yeah, 270. It's been a rough finish here, but I think he's the 35 home runs have been huge. 12 stolen bases, not stolen base anymore, but it's just 116 run score. That offense is so good. But he's not the average the last couple of years, 264 and 271. He's not a 300 guy at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, he picked a bad time to slump too, as you were saying. So
sure did. Yeah, him, Devers, and Bobby Witt, my top three hitters, all kind of slump at the same time. It's been, it's just, you know, what do you do? Bad timing. They all had good years. They all have been good values for the position, but it would have been nice to get a last couple, 3 months out of them. But yeah, I think I go Betts also. The extra, there's the run scored and the few extra stolen bases, I think, makes a huge difference.
For sure.
But other pitchers, we talked about the A's guys. And Nate Eovaldi is pitching this week against Tampa Bay. Luis Sessa for your Reds has been kind of okay. Javier Assad pitched well this week. It was bottom of the barrel. Did you do anything with thinking about either Tyler Glasnow or Tony Gonsolin kind of making short starts?
Glasnow, yes. Gonsolin, I don't. Glasnow, because the strikeouts, I think, are already there. I mean, you could get four seven. Innings and eight Ks.
Yeah, I was thinking seven or eight Ks. He pitched three innings the first start. You got fours in the mix and. Yeah, I mean, that's more Ks than most of these guys were talking about getting five or six innings anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I'd take five or six Ks out of him. And whereas I don't think I get that from Gonsolin. Yeah. I think he might pitch an inning or two.
I think three. Like, he threw two in his rehab start, so I think three is like a dead max.
Yeah, agreed.
And you think I would assume they're kind of thinking about him being a reliever in the playoffs? I just can't think he's anywhere near ramped up to start making any starts.
Yeah, he may not even make the initial playoff roster, especially because as nice as it is that the Dodgers are going to get the bye, it means that's no chances for reps for Gonsolin in there.
I assume they'll be going like simulated games for a while here. But when do they trying to figure out when do the teams get a bye? They play like Tuesday. Is that about right?
Sounds about right. I can't answer that authoritatively, but I think
October 11th is the start of the AL.
Yeah, that's Tuesday. That's Tuesday.
All four series play that day.
That's going to be a great day.
That is going to be a great day right there.
Yeah, actually, even though I kind of don't like the expanded playoffs, I kind of like it too. I don't know. It's going to be fun watching. I can't wait for them to start.
I don't know if I love expanded playoffs, but I like a 3-game wild card a lot more than the 1-game.
Yes, I agree.
I hate the 1-game.
And I also like that it's home team. This
I do too.
Stays the same. I think that's smart. And it kind of sucks for the third division winner, but then again, they're the third division winner, not the second. So
yeah, and they still they get that first round where they don't have to play the number one seed too. So at least there's a couple of edges in there. But I do like three young guys. I like the schedule a little more compacted this year. I didn't love the 9 million off days where you can pretty much throw your one and two starters and they can carry you. So I think a lot of times you're gonna need four starters in this playoff run to make a run. And it's just
agreed.
I kind of like that. I think your rotational depth should be a little bit tested in the playoffs.
Yeah. So to that end, who are the three starters if it gets to three games for the Cardinals?
So Wainwright for sure, and then Flaherty and Montgomery, I would assume, right? Oh, yeah. What about Mikolas?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think you go Wainwright, Flaherty, Montgomery, Michaelis. Yeah.
So right now, I think our projected starters grid goes Flaherty, Montgomery, Wainwright is just the order. Michaelis is splitting with Quintana tomorrow. Definitely not Dakota Hudson. But
no.
Wainwright. Flaherty is the ultimate wild card for them.
He is. Could be great, could be a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, he pitched well against the Pirates. But that's
you don't think they had Wainwright pitch today to line him up for that first game?
I mean they could be, but I think just ordering is like the way it is. I mean Wainwright, I mean low key has been pretty bad lately.
I still think they give him start one.
Maybe.
Yeah. And we'll know if Flaherty like gets a random like two innings sometimes this week. It'll answer it for us. But I just feel like St. Louis lined it up. I mean, he's pitching today, which gives him exactly 4 days rest until Friday. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe so.
I think I'd go Flaherty one. I think they'll go Wainwright one.
Yeah, I just don't think Wainwright's that effective right now. And maybe there's a whole lot of recency bias there, but
they're going to play likely the Phillies because the Brewers are pretty much done. Not done, but they'll play the Phillies. That's
had it in their hands. They had a chance. They just
lose to the Marlins twice. It was brutal.
Late innings to the Marlins too.
Yeah. That's been the Brewers for 6 weeks though. I mean, they've lost so many games late.
I mean, want to talk about it. I mean, haters.
By the way, the Phillies are winning that series against the Cardinals.
I can see that.
Yeah, I mean, you go talk about a team that's set up for a short series. That, you know, Phillies have a lot of issues and some bullpen issues, but you go Nola Wheeler 1-2 and that offense, I think they beat the Cardinals.
Yeah, but weirdly, the Phillies did this race to the bottom thing.
They did. They played really badly there for a while.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, yeah.
Nick Castellanos is back now. Everything's good.
Yeah, all's well. Please disperse. Nothing to see here.
If you need some saves this half week, you've got some problems where not that you ever would know what this feels like.
No, not at all.
Dodgers are an issue. Like the Kimbrel's out of the job. I really like Evan Phillips. Gratterall's really good too. I mean, it's impossible to figure out who this was, but if Phillips is available, he was kind of the guy that I really liked this week. But who knows how much the Dodgers use anybody is the problem.
Right, right. That's exactly right.
He probably gets an inning this week, right? Like they're not going to use him more than that.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, does Kimbrel make the playoff roster?
That's a good question. I think he does.
Yeah, I don't know.
Crazy. That's a question considering we were 6 weeks ago, though, right?
Yeah, exactly right. I picked up, because I'm not too prideful, I picked up Jimmy Hergett in Scarf, which is part of the Earth series of leagues.
Are you winning Scarf still?
I am winning I'm winning Scarf. I'm not winning Earth. I'm now fourth in Earth.
Sentences we never thought we'd say out loud. But you're winning fourth overall in Earth. That's pretty good.
Well, I was first for a while.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, I know, but
Earth Ringer.
I don't know, but it's so good that I didn't win. But I'm falling off a little bit there. But no, it's all right. It's kind of funny. I kind of caught fire and like I was hanging around fourth or fifth in my own league for a long time. I just went on this massive run there, but
I know we joke a little bit about Jimmy Hergett and you dropped him and then he got some saves. Jimmy Hergett's ERA in August was 0.53. His ERA so far in September is 0.63.
Yeah, he's good.
Two earned runs in his last 31 and a third innings. So, dude, I know we joke about the usage and it's frustrating, but he's been an unbelievably good pitcher.
Oh, I know. Yeah. The Angels have pitched well this year.
Yeah,
I don't think people realize this. Maybe some people do, but you know, all this time it's like, oh, Ohtani and Trout have had these awesome seasons, and it's just too bad they can't get any pitching. They've gotten pitching. Pitching is not their problem. Their starting pitching has sneakily been really good. Patrick Sandoval. We think he's a disappointment, right? 3.03 ERA.
I would have not won that over under bet right there.
No, He had even his last outing, rough second inning. Okay, great. But if you look I didn't know he had a 3.03. He has a 1.35 whip, so there's obviously some luck going on.
3.03 ERA, though. That's a really solid year. We talked about him a lot in the preseason. I kind of thought he was a disappointment, but I guess he really hasn't been.
Last 60 days, 2.04 ERA, 1.13 whip. I did not know that, and I have him on a couple of teams. I mean, it's just – quietly, I mean, Jose Suarez has been sneakily good for a while there. Yeah. Lorenzen, as you mentioned, has had some good outings lately. Yeah. All right. Obviously, Ohtani's done his thing and is awesome and is great. You know, Detmers has been a better, everyone looks at the no-hitter, but he's actually been pretty good since the call-up.
Yeah.
He's at 377, 121. He's going to be a good guy. He's going to be a good pitcher. There's a seeds of a team here. But so
where are the runs that they gave up? Is it all like bullpen and four and five starters that were awful? Because they're like their run prevention is not very good. I mean, they've given up more runs than the Astros and the Mariners and Cleveland and New York. I guess they're not that bad. They're like fifth in the AL in runs given up. So yeah, you're right. They're actually top third in the AL. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it, oh, God, you're worse than the Astros. Oh, of course.
Of course.
The Astros.
The Astros are 100 runs better than everybody. It's insane. Them and the Dodgers are just stupidly good. But
yeah,
you're right. I look at it a little closer, and they, yeah, there's probably five teams that have to give up less runs than them. So, yeah, they're top half in the AL runs given up. I wouldn't guess that either. But they scored 616 runs, which is like third worst in the AL.
Yeah, it's really
I saw a graph today that looked at like six and seven hitters in the lineup, and like everybody's clumped together. There was one team that was elite, and the Angels are like far and away like the worst. Apparently, their six, seven hitters have been just horrendous all year long.
Yeah, yeah.
So the bottom half of that order has been a disaster the whole season.
Yeah, like Jared Walsh is hurt now, but I mean, he quietly, sneakily was a roto killer this year.
Yeah.
Brandon Marsh, before he got traded, was not good.
Joe Adell did not work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. Jared Walsh is at 215.
And he went like a month without an RBI playing.
I do remember that month. Point in the chat, Luis Renjifo has been very good. That's the one guy, and he's hit top of that lineup.
I love Renjifo. Yeah.
Jared Walsh is at 215 with 15 home runs, and he's played, that's 450 plate appearances. That is, and his strikeout rate's over 30%. He's been bad.
Yeah. Taylor Ward has been pretty bad since getting hurt.
Yeah, he was really good early on, and then just been brutal since. Yeah, you're right. Their lineup is just not good. Obviously, Domingo Acevedo. We're talking about saves. If he's still available in your league, he is clearly the A's guy. Who knows if the A's win the games? They're playing the Angels this week. Who knows who's going to win those games? But
right.
He's clearly getting the ball in the ninth inning each and every time. So there, at least there's that. But and then I was just looking at anybody that's pitching seventh, eighth inning that might that has good ratios and might sneak in a win. I mean, you're hoping for three strikeouts and a miracle winner save is kind of what you're doing. You're just looking for that over a zero was kind of the bullpen thoughts this week.
Yeah, exactly. Find guys that strike guys out. Hopefully you get three or four strikeouts in two outings. Maybe you get a winner, a save. Great.
Yeah. A few real quick, a few news and notes, and we'll wrap up kind of talking about a few lessons from the season, but Julio Rodriguez is set to return on Monday. It's not like he's going to play. I imagine they want to get him a decent chunk of at-bats here this week. So I imagine he'll play at least two of the three games. So obviously get him back in. Ketel Marte, a guy who has been definitely a disappointment this year, went on the IL, undisclosed reasons. So I don't think we know what happened there, but obviously on the IL, so done for this week. We mentioned Mike Trout, day-to-day with a sore foot. If you need to have some closer issues, Felix Bautista reported a knee soreness after the game on Friday, has not pitched since. That's a really tough guy to start this week because they just have no reason to put him out there if he's not feeling 100%.
Sure. So who would you go as a replacement?
Jeez, I don't know who is the backup guy. I don't even know anymore. He's been locked in so long. I haven't looked at the Orioles backup for a while.
They had a close win today, right? So let's see. Look at usage here. That be kind of a giveaway there, supposedly. But
Dylan Tate, Cionel Perez.
Dylan Tate has five saves on the year. Did you know Tate's got a .96 whip this year?
Wow.
Little known fact.
Solid right there.
Yeah. I mean, the Orioles, I mean, they, you want to talk about a team. I mean, they've improved like 28 games this year.
Yeah. I think today was 30.
Yeah. Pretty impressive stuff.
They locked in a winning record, which is pretty darn awesome.
Tate is not a huge strikeout guy, 59 Ks in 72 innings, but he's only walked 13. Yes, I want that in the back end of my bullpen. 16 holds on the year. Quietly a really good season.
Yeah, 288, .97. That's really solid. So he may pick up a save or two, as I just assume they're not going to throw Bautista out there. They don't need
Correct.
To. And Luis Arraez sat Sunday with hammy soreness. He's leading the AL batting race right now by 2 points over Aaron Judge. You think he's going to sit to win that batting race?
I don't think he would, but I want to see the New York media just go ballistic if he does.
Right, if Arraez sits and costs Judge the Triple Crown because he's chilling on the lead.
Why won't you pitch to Judge?
Boy, it's been hard. It's like it's back to Barry Bonds days, though. He's getting walked like every other bat. It's wild.
Yeah, well, and yeah, there's a lot of things. I mean, the whole who's got the real record thing, just stop.
Oh, I just am so tired of it.
Roger
Maris Jr. needs to stop talking and stop tweeting.
Yes, and people need to stop amplifying that.
Agreed.
Anytime you turn on MLB Network, it's I just click. All right, I love him. I love Brian Kenny. He's great. But they keep harping on this story, and I got to switch it off when they do. I mean,
the problem is if it's not Mets Braves, we just haven't had any good braces down the stretch, and it's been Judge is kind of the story. But
force feeding it to us, though. I mean,
I hope he hits one this week, but I'm not tuning in for every single at bat at the moment.
Yeah, when they were interrupting college football broadcasts, and you know, the college football people who aren't necessarily baseball people were.
Yeah, really, there was a lot of anguish on Twitter. Like, can you just split the screen so you can kind of show it and do both? Like, why do you have to tune totally out of it?
Yeah, I mean, especially because they're not providing an alternate channel to watch while, you know, because there's only 11, 12, 13 games for your favorite college team. I mean, if that's your sport, yeah.
I'd be okay if they cut in for Jared Walsh at bats, if I mentioned not watching Stanford football, though.
Oh, my God. Well, hey, again.
They're horrible.
Hello, Northwestern.
You guys are really bad, too.
Rough look. Forced five turnovers against Penn State. Get 0 points from those turnovers.
I saw that. It's hard to do.
Outgained on the ground like 235 or something. Rough. It's just.
Are you a watch Northwestern football every game, no matter what kind of person you are, right?
I try to be. Yeah. Kids and life intervenes. Yeah, it used to be that I would make sure I'd record it if I knew I couldn't be around. Right. I'm kind of not doing that right now.
Yeah, I'm not the best college football fan. When Stanford's bad, I just don't really watch them.
Yeah, I
mean, dude, they were down like 31-3 or something at halftime. I was like, yeah, I'm not watching.
At least it was Oregon. I mean, we lost to Southern Illinois and Duke and Miami of Ohio in succession. I mean,
sweet new football renderings for the new stadium, though.
Yeah. Yay, go Cats.
$800 million or something like that? Look pretty sweet.
And I'm sure there won't be any cost overruns. It'll be totally on budget and on time.
Always is. On time, on budget. Perfect. Yeah. Sal Perez sat Sunday with a sore thumb. Jeff, I don't know if I'm going to do it. I don't know if I'm going to go back and do the math. If I had won that Sal Perez bit, if I would have, I probably shouldn't do it, right?
He's actually slowed down. He went nuts early on. And it's
been pretty darn good for a catcher for the categories I needed, though.
Yeah, probably
better than Carson Kelly and Christian Bethencourt.
Yeah, Bethencourt's just not playing enough.
He's really good when he plays. He's been a really good hitter, but just doesn't play enough. But Perez in that lineup would have been pretty nice. Evan Longoria having some x-rays on his hand, have another plan for there. Logan Webb, Sandy Alcantara, and Joe Ryan all made their last start, so not going to make another start. They actually put Logan Webb on the IL. Alcantara and Ryan, they just decided that was going to be their last start, so obviously don't start them. Jeff, a couple questions for you before we jump out of here. Where does Freddie Freeman go for you next year? Massive year, 329, 98 RBIs, 116 runs scored, but only 20 home runs. How much do you buy the power outage in Dodger Stadium? Does that worry you? Is this the other stuff so good you're not worried about the rest of the power?
The latter.
330 is pretty damn awesome for a guy with 700 plate appearances. I mean, that plays massively.
So, and the thing is, yeah, I mean, he's only $4 behind Goldie and $1 behind Alonzo among first basemen for earned auction value using the RotoWire tool, despite 20 homers. And what if he goes to 30 next year? Yeah.
Yeah.
He's in 327.
Yeah.
Oh, is that? I didn't realize it was that high. I mean, yeah. Of course.
He was I said 329. He was 0-4 today. You're right. He dropped to 327. But, I mean, 116 run score, that's as many as Mookie scored. And he has 98 RBIs. He has 13 stolen bases too.
Yeah, you don't count on that happening again. But
no, but he had 8 last year. You could probably count on 8-12 is probably a pretty good number.
Sneaky good. I mean, yeah. which number surprises you more? Freddie Freeman having 13 or Kyle Schwarber having 10?
Kyle Schwarber having 10.
Me too.
Kyle Schwarber's 44-10 right now. That is insane. Is
he 44-10 while hitting 217?
I was gonna say, is he at 230? But you're right. he's under that. He was really brutal for a while. But yeah, 44-10. I mean, that in the new era of batting average, 214 hurts, but not as much as it used to. And 44-10 plays everywhere.
Yeah.
54% hard hit rate, 19.9% barrel rate. Had two more hits and 3 RBIs today. Has 92 RBIs now. It's been a huge season for Schwarber, leading off for the Phillies. Do you know that Carlos Rodon leads the MLB major league pitchers, major league pitcher in Fangraphs WAR? I did not know I knew he had a really good year, but I was really surprised to see him at the top of the list.
I saw a tweet about that. Yeah.
Did I just steal someone's tweet without knowing it? Sorry.
No, I just saw it going around, but it's because of the Ks, 237 Ks, 178 innings. It's K percentage, but he's only thrown 178 innings. So I beg to differ with the calculation just a little bit there, perhaps. But
that's back-to-back years with a strikeout rate over 33%.
Yeah. Hey, but, you know, at least the White Sox didn't get stuck with that contract with him.
You stick him on that team, it's a different year for them.
Yeah, they need to be slaughtered for that. They really need to be chastised round late.
They flat out just passed for the option, right? Or because of the,
they did not offer a qualifying yeah. offer to him. They just let him go.
And qualifying offer was like $18 million, something like that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And they chose to start Dallas Keuchel for critical starts early in the season.
Right. Oh, I forgot about that.
They deserve not to make the playoffs. They need, you know, they deserve lots of criticism. It's not just, oh, well, we had so many injuries. We'll be back next year. No, you made terrible decisions. You didn't try to improve at the break. Your one ad was Jake Diekman. Nice human being. Yeah. Come on. That's all you added at the trade deadline.
And you combine that with the injury issues, and suddenly you got a year where hugely disappointing team. I mean, I think that they were the favorites for that division. They finished, they finished second, but they're pretty far out of it.
Yeah, and Cleveland was supposed to be terrible this year. I was 100% wrong about that. You know, people can throw this tweet or this prediction didn't age well at me because I completely missed on the Guardians.
I don't think you're the only one there. I mean, they did very little to get better, and I don't think you're the only one there. I mean, obviously, right. J-Ram had a great year, but Stephen Kwan's been good. Ahmad Rosario's been good. Josh Naylor's been really good, especially lately. Andres Jimenez, who I had wanted no part of, has been really good. They have a pretty sneaky top half of the lineup, and then you go Bieber McKenzie, and Quantrill's been good. Savali's been pitching pretty well lately. They're not going to be an easy out in the playoffs.
Nope, they know how to develop pitching too. They've got this secret sauce, and that's hugely valuable to know that you can get reinforcements from within.
And you get down in a game then late. You go Sam Henkes, you go Karen Check, you go Clase. Like, you don't want to be down after six of that team because they can shut you down late.
And they have like one old guy on the team. It's like Brian Shaw is it. They're pretty. I've been very critical of them, and
my God, they have
Sam wrong.
They have no one over 30 on their team.
Yeah.
Luke Maley is the only offensive hitter they have over 30.
Yeah. Wow. And they've got a farm system that's just, you know, burgeoning, ready to contribute. So they're well positioned.
So I mentioned Emmanuel Clase. I was trying to segue into my next question for you. Top five closers next year. Clase, Diaz, Liam Hendricks, Jordan Romano. Who the heck is fifth? Is it Hader?
Hader.
You think he's back in the circle of trust?
I don't know if
it'll
be me, but someone will do it, right?
Back in the circle of trust after the blip there. I mean, he's been pretty good lately, at least.
He has. I have a hard time.
His ERA is still 5.3.
Yeah. I mean, it's a rough look, but he was so bad for a while. But I mean, the upside is just still so palpable.
Yeah, he's got 80 strikeouts in less than 50 innings.
Yeah, it just shows that relievers can go kaplooey like that. But
well, Jeff, Kay Salas on the chat is just trolling you now because they want Jimmy Herget to be a top five closer too.
That is just beautiful, good,
cruel, unusual, right there.
Yeah. Last 30 days for Josh Hader: 0.93 ERA, 0.62 WHIP. Yeah, he's going top five,
and he didn't give up a run the first 2.5 months. It was just an insane like stretch of the season where he gave up six runs twice.
Unless he gets lit up in the playoffs, in which case, yeah.
But he gives six runs an inning in a game twice. It's impossible. I don't know what the heck happened there.
Yeah. Isaac says Bard is good, but, you know, Bard's not good every year. And its cores always win. So
no, Bard was awesome this year. But he's 37. But he's a whip under one, ERA under two, and 32 saves. He's been the guy that if you took in the 23rd round, which has been absolutely
saved. Or picked up in Fab early on.
Yeah. Absolute saves gold right there.
Stud today. Yeah, two innings saved today. He's been awesome.
He had four strikeouts today. He's been great. Yeah.
I just think that their reliever performance varies so much, especially with someone like him, that I probably won't be on him, but I could give up value to the league on that. We'll see. He's no Mark Melanson, that's for sure.
Goodness gracious, no. When do you start prepping for 2023, Jeff? Do you do the projections for the site and all that? You do, right?
I do. We got a meeting coming up next, I think, maybe even Thursday, talking about our process. So we'll see. It'll be...
you guys, that's like one day off and you're going back to it.
Well, we're just going to talk about how we're going to handle it. Because just to figure out, because we do things a little bit differently now, but maybe to streamline some of the projection process there.
Yeah, I need a break. So I'm gonna watch the playoffs. I'm just going to enjoy baseball for a little bit. I don't think I've dealt with this last couple of weeks very well. I think if I were in the mix again, who knows if I'd ever be this high up again. But I think I would handle it differently. I've done a lot of like oh, I'll figure out what happened later. And I just haven't enjoyed the last 3 weeks as much as I should have. I don't think I handled well how to deal with it. I just think I just should have leaned in and watched games. And I've been really busy at work too. So it's one of those things like I'll just deal with it later. And that just, it hasn't been as fun the last couple weeks as it should have been.
Yeah, I know. And well, when your team, your team did.
Well, it was really good until today. I mean, everything was really good. Today was bad, but I've been great. It's just, I don't know. It's been weirdly, like I haven't wanted to watch pitchers because I'm like, oh, this is going to be stressful. And just, it shouldn't be that way. It's stupid. Like you should enjoy it. And that you would play so you can, have some play for some leagues, play for some overalls, be up there. I just don't think I've handled the last 3 weeks well. And I would do it differently if I ever got up there again, which who knows if I will. It's hard to get up there, but I would certainly handle it differently.
Yeah, I hear you on that. By the way, John asked what any left right and Diaz would be our first reliever.
I said second. I put him after Clase.
Okay. Well, yeah. Quibble. I mean, just like Hader Liam this year,
For sure. I think it's a dead set top two with Clase and Diaz. Then I still think Liam's third. I think Romano's fourth. And I think it opens up after that. You're probably right. It's probably Hader fifth. And then it gets really open after that though.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, Diaz is definitely a top five guy in every draft.
Oh yeah. I think the better question is how are you willing to take either him or Clase?
Pretty darn early, third round.
Yeah. Are people going to go closer crazy like they did this year and take him in the second round? Or I think in one case at the 1-2 turn, I remember seeing one main like that. Or
there was. Double top closers. Yeah, I think that not quite as high. I think Liam and Hader were so freaking elite. Maybe Clase is like a late second guy. But I think we'd maybe push it back to late second, early third rather than late first, early second. I've come around to pretty certain that I want a top, I don't know, we'll call it a top eight guy, and then I'll figure it out after that rather than trying to maybe get two guys in the middle. I think I want one of the top eight, and then I'll just kind of figure it out after that. I think that's worked pretty well for me. I feel pretty comfortable that I can kind of mix around and find some saves either in season or later in the draft, but not I want an anchor. And I know the anchor doesn't always work. Sometimes you get a Chapman. I was with you. I wasn't drafting Chapman either, but I want one anchor in these overall leagues where you have to get saves to win. I mean, obviously a standalone league's a lot different, but in those leagues, I definitely want an anchor, and I'll suck it up. I hate doing it the third or fourth round, but I'm gonna do it anyway. And then I'll just figure it out after that and forget about it for a little bit.
I think it just depends on where I'm sitting in the draft. And
it does. And every league's a little bit different for sure.
Yeah. I mean, we did talk about what might have been if I got one of those closers in the fifth round instead of stupid Javier Baez, who is just not someone we were even on. It's just kind of like we were set on Presley, and then it obviously
went our way. You mentioned Baez, and I'll admit to you, I haven't thought about him in like 3 months. I looked him up. It's a really bad year. 16 home runs, 9 stolen bases, and 240. There's just nothing good there.
No, there isn't. There is
60 runs, 60 RBIs. Like it's just a really middle of the road. Like it's a guy you can get in the 23rd round.
Yeah.
What's your dog's name? Harley, is that right?
Harley.
Harley like hates Javier Baez.
Javier Baez. Yeah, it's like once it hit the bounce ball, it was all over for Harley. But
yeah, I mean, hard hit rate's down 8%. He's a 8% barrel rate guy. He just hasn't been good. Yeah. Did you see the Sister Jean meme with him? By the way.
I did not.
You know the sister, the woman that's Loyola Chicago?
She
threw the first pitch out. I think it was Wrigley. And like, she's in a wheelchair, just kind of leaned it up there. And they someone photoshopped in Javier Baez swinging and missing out. It was beautiful.
Nice. That is very clever.
Like, it was as a slider away. It was pretty amazing. But
I'm not convinced I'm going to do early closer. So, but we'll see. I mean, the online main that was doing so well for so long, we didn't do it.
Yeah.
But then again, chasing closers in September killed us. So...
Yeah. Yeah, you had Clay Holmes doesn't lose that job. You're set. Like,
yeah,
because you wouldn't even thought about it. You would have had Barlow and Holmes, and that's, I don't know, 10 to 12, 14 more saves for Holmes if he had stayed healthy, stayed good and been good. Right. It wouldn't have mattered. You'd have 63 saves, and you just got a bad break with Holmes getting hurt. You had a huge score, and then it just went away. It's just hard.
Yeah, which is what relievers do. They go away. Too.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. They do. But I think I'm one anchor and then figure it out from there. Harley's a big fan of that also.
Yeah.
Anything else on your mind? Anything else you want to talk about before we jump out of here? I think for the last time, right?
Yeah, I mean, we could do it Sunday if you wanted, but we could just enjoy the playoffs too. I think we'll probably enjoy the playoffs.
Probably.
No, it's been a fun season. I just had a lot of second places. I think I might win. Well, I've got a couple of chances to win leagues still, but it could have been a very, very Jenstad-like season. Instead, it's going to be more of a Erickson-like season. But you know, live from that, learn from that too. How to close better.
Well, hopefully you guys get a crazy good 3 days. Maybe make a run in your main event. Sorry to Kelly, I know he's listening, but I'm rooting for you to at least make it close there, and make it a run in your Vegas league would be fun too. So hopefully Wednesday matters for all of us. Let's put it that
exactly.
way.
Exactly. Yeah. Good luck down the stretch, or not the stretch. Good luck in these last three games.
Yeah,
the sprint.
Crazy. It's a super sprint. So, but thanks everybody for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, not only tonight, but all year long. I know I speak for Jeff when we say we really appreciate all the nice comments. We get a lot of good stuff, and we see people in person or see people online. There's a lot of nice comments on the podcast. We do appreciate that. I know I love doing it. I know Jeff probably gets tired of me during the season, but not I love doing it. So it's fun. Yes, I kid. For the people not watching on video, they can't tell that I'm laughing at that comment. So a little bit of dry humor. Sorry about that. But no, we really appreciate it. It's always fun. It's always a good time. Looking forward to it every Sunday nights. If Jeff will have me back, I'm sure we'll be back next year. Hopefully it's we have no lockouts next year. We can actually have a normal schedule. It'd be nice.
I can't wait for just a normal cycle season.
Right. It's been a long time.
I know it has. All right. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate you. I'll be still on Tuesday with Fred. And Thursday, when we talk with the guys from So Rare, we're going to be talking about their postseason contest. So that'll be kind of closing it up. James has still got a podcast this week as well. So still a lot of content for you. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Really, really appreciate it.
And good luck to everybody these last final 3 days. Let us know how your seasons turn out. Hope everybody wins a league or two here and there. So anyway, thanks for listening. And we'll be back at you, I don't know, sometime in February, I suppose.